The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And very pleasant. Good afternoon. We welcome you to the middle of the week. It is Wednesday, and we have a lot to do today. We'll recap some of the games from last night and look ahead to the spring football season with a major SEC head coach, as we have been doing for the last couple of days. Let's start with what happened last night. It was a much ballyhooed matchup between two friendly but fierce rivals, Texas and South Carolina, Schaefer versus Staley, and it was a rout, especially in the fourth quarter as South Carolina literally, and I mean literally, shut out Texas. No Tom Herman coaching there for the shutout. Anyway, 62-34, Don Staley talking about the win and another trip to the Final Four.
We're going to enjoy it because, again, you never know when things will be taken away from you. Last year, things were taken away. I'm glad our players fought to be in this position because we had two very special seniors that, you know, didn't get a chance to finish their careers out in the form of playing in the NCAA tournament. So, Ty and Kiki, these nets are certainly for you, and, you know, we're going to enjoy it. You know, 24-hour rule, you know. Tomorrow, this time, you know, we'll move on to whoever our next opponent will be.
The trail of tears continues for Mark Emmert. He is, at least for now, the NCAA president. And he did another mea culpa today, just like he did yesterday and the day before and the day before that. And Mark Emmert talking about what went wrong with the women's Final Four.
It is pretty self-evident that we dropped the ball in supporting our women's athletes. And we can't do that. That's a failure that should not exist. That 60-year head start that men had, that shouldn't exist anymore. That's got to be put behind us. We did not get to this moment because of what happened in San Antonio with a weight room or any other issues, but we are here. And now the most important thing to me is obviously to correct those things that happened in San Antonio, and we're dealing with that, and I think very effectively. But also we need to use it as a pivot point, as an inflection point to say, what do we need to do better? How do we, you know, make up for those shortcomings from this day going on?
It was interesting to see Mark Emmert there without his foot stuck deep into his throat. Anyway, let's continue with more of the headlines. And it's hard to do anything on Mark Emmert with a straight face these days. Jermaine Burton, another wide receiver at Georgia, struggling. George Pickens went out the other day for the season, or most likely for the season. Burton has suffered a hyperextended knee. Hopefully, he will be back soon. Meanwhile, more pro days continued today. Kyle Pitts, remember him? Only one of the greatest tight ends we have ever seen. He looked good as that pro day just wrapped up in Gainesville. And his coach, Dan Mullen, was watching every minute of it.
That's what we want here, obviously, right? You want to have the players that and the talent and the players of these guys that are continuing to work, get better, and have the opportunity to go on and play at the next level. I know every young guy's dream, you know, the young kids, they dream of having the opportunity to go play at Florida, and then they have the dream of the opportunity to go to the NFL, and it's great to see these guys having the opportunity to go out and show what they can do and live their dreams.
Meanwhile, LSU had a pro day as well today. Terrence Marshall looking good. A lot of players look quite good, as you can imagine how many prospects the Tigers have down there on the bayou. So here's where we are today. Sam Pittman joining us shortly. He is the coach at Arkansas. The former coach at Auburn, Gene Shizik, joins us. Candace Story Lee, the vice chancellor and athletic director at Vanderbilt, on the big news there. And Pete Thamel on a multitude of stories, from Emmert's apology tour to today's Supreme Court arguments to the NCAA basketball tournament, which he has been covering. And of course, your phone calls, and you can get in right this minute at 855-242-7285. Love to hear from you. Good spot here until we get Pittman on. Let's get to the calls and start with Pat, who is in Georgia. Good afternoon, Pat.
Good afternoon, Paul. This isn't the reason I called, but you mentioned Mark Emmert's in your headlines. It's hard to work with stupid, especially when there's a generous portion of incompetency rolled in there. But anyway, the final four teams, if I'm not mistaken, it's Gonzaga and UCLA and Baylor and Houston, and I think we have two ones, a two, and then UCLA, their first game was a play-in game, right?
Correct. Yeah, and some people wondered, Pat, were they really better than that? But they have just played brilliantly. And I think now you understand why so many people picked Alabama to get to the Final Four, because that regional was for the taking.
Yes, it was. I have a couple of observations. I've heard one or two complaints about the seeding, but by and large, they probably got that right. I think that COVID had a lot to do all season, and also in maybe coming up with some of the seedings that they did, which were merited based upon the play this year. And then I think you have the business model of March Madness itself, that any team could win. Not likely, but any team could win.
Any team not name if your name is Gonzaga, you can win. I'm not sure about anyone else, maybe with the exception of Baylor. But, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. It's been a fantastic tournament. And, Houston was a two seed, although it still seems surprising that Houston's in the Final Four.
Yes, and for what it's worth, I think it's going to end up being Gonzaga and Baylor. But that's why they play the games, isn't it?
Yeah, no, those have been the picks for about 2 years now, and I'm glad that they both made it. Hey, thank you very much for the call. And Tony is up next. Hey, Tony, thanks. Good afternoon. Tony, you there?
Oh, I'm here, bud. I'm sorry, Paul.
That's okay.
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
We are doing great.
It's soggy here in the river region, but I guess it's better than it could be. But I had a question with the relaxed policies now with the transfer portal. Do schools need to adjust their recruiting departments to account for this now? Because it seems like it's going to be a normal way to recruit. There's no more tampering, if you will, and even when it comes to high school students, I think the transfer portal is going to be important. And I think if schools don't get on the bus, they're going to miss it.
Yeah, the only question I have back is I don't know what you can do. It is a natural reaction, and nowadays let's say it's Georgia, Florida, Alabama, doesn't matter where, you get a quarterback in there, and if he doesn't play, he's gone. And you just have to accept the reality of that. I think it pressures the coaches they can't wait any longer. They know they'll lose the player, whether it's an All-American like Justin Fields or someone else. But it's the reality of the world, and you have to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it personally, but that really makes no. Never mind. But. Before, if there was a family hardship or something like that, that's the way it worked. But now, ultimately, if you don't like the playing time you're getting or not getting, you can just go in the transfer portal with no repercussions. And like you said, the coaches, it's incumbent upon them to help these young men make this decision and or adjust accordingly to keep them there.
Yeah, Tony, I like the idea of a player. I think I saw where Terry Wilson's going into the portal and is transferring from UK. I like the idea of an upperclassman, getting one more shot. But I think they've opened Pandora's box on the front end, because It is so chaotic right now, and sometimes you just don't know after a year. I mean, you may, but I would say more than likely you're not going to know after 1 year, especially if you're somewhere in between.
Absolutely, and you know, it was a big thing in football. They might get more exposure, but it's a huge thing in basketball now, and I'm just anxious to see how that works out when you know, you intend to go to a school for, you know, get your one and done and go to the NBA, but maybe you're not getting the touches you want and you like, you know, let me just go somewhere else. And I hate that.
Tony, it's not exactly what our parents taught us about trying to deal with reality, good or bad. It's now, and we had an incredible conversation late in the show last night about, you know, paying players and how different a guy who played, I think, for Georgia in the 60s called in, and it spawned quite a conversation. And for all the old timers out there who like the way it used to be, the transfer portal is just one of many reasons why young players have no loyalty and do not adhere to any of the basic tenets of yesterday. Anyway, up against the break, more to come. Sam Pittman joining us in a few minutes, the athletic director at Vanderbilt a little bit later on, Pete Thamel, Gene Chizik. We have quite a show on tap for you, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And it is coming in 1 week, the SEC Equestrian Championship, 2 p.m. We'll have it right here for you. And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's continue with more calls. And how about Lance, who is in Tuscaloosa? Hello, Lance.
Hey, Paul. Good day to you.
Good day.
Let's go back in time and see if you remember this. When Coach Saban was first hired here in Alabama, you had an interview with Charles Barkley.
Okay.
And I recall, this is essentially, it's not the exact quotes or anything, it's been a long time ago, but he was saying something about Auburn was going to be in trouble now with Coach Saban. Being here at Alabama. Do you recall interviewing him? And if you don't, I wonder if you could pull that up.
Yeah, I mean, I have a vague recollection of that. And if you remember in 2007 when Coach Saban was hired, you could sense things were beginning to turn a little bit. I mean, Auburn was coming off of some good years under Tommy Tuberville, but the die had been cast. And Tuberville just simply wasn't, I think, equipped to deal with Saban. And, you know, ultimately that was proven out. And so, yeah, I do think Charles portended that. I mean, Charles is a pretty smart analyst of all sports.
Well, it surprised me that he said that.
Well, you have to remember, though, Charles did not become a multi-zillionaire television commentator by giving you predictable takes like others. He's unique, and you know he likes to joke about where he went to school, but Charles Barkley cares more about his paycheck in terms of being honest with his constituency than worrying what somebody on Twitter may have to say about his allegiance. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. And Jeff is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Jeff, thanks. Good afternoon.
Yes.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to ask you, I read an article this morning about after Oregon State lost the other night that the NCAA put them on a plane at 1 o'clock in the morning, and this article was kind of like they wasn't expecting it. They had to get packed really quick. And another question I got for you is, what do you think about the Supreme Court hearing today about having the players?
I mean, I know a lot of people are trying to read into the questions. There seemed to be a lack of patience by some of the justices. In fact, I think the most interesting question of the day came from Justice Clarence Thomas when he asked, I think it was the NCAA attorney, about the transfer portal, which indicates that the Justice Thomas is a pretty big college and pro football, college football and basketball fan. However, I don't think, and I'm not, it's not like I've ever argued a case in front of the Supreme Court. I have been there before, and you cannot read too much into the justices. I remember when the Affordable Care Act was approved by the Supreme Court, most people thought it was going the other way based on the justices' questions. They are inquisitive, and they have every right to be. And I think too often people try to handicap it by what the questions are, not what the arguments are. Thanks for the call. We'll talk more about that later with Pete Thamel. And Gene is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Paul. Called this second call. I'm glad I got through. I was wondering, what's your take on the tournament? SEC a bust, or do you think they carried themselves well?
Hold on. I mean, I would hardly call it a bust when you have two teams in the elite in the Sweet 16. I mean, I know many expected Alabama to make it to the Final Four, but I thought Alabama and Arkansas acquitted themselves very well. I mean, I think Alabama maybe underperformed a little bit, but I thought Arkansas got everything out of it to you could possibly want. The big surprise, I think, was Tennessee getting knocked out early. They were a team that maybe we shouldn't have put too much stock in it, but I mean, when the season began, they looked like a Final Four team. They ended the season terribly.
Correct. I'm a big Tennessee fan, so yes, I'm fully aware of that. I was expecting, hopefully, at least Sweet 16, if not.
Yeah, I thought Sweet 16 was doable. Now, Gene, I think the SEC is well positioned for basketball, and you consider what was accomplished without Kentucky, that's saying something.
Well, yes and no. The only problem I have is it seemed like they didn't. What I observed to me is, you know, to win the game, you have to put the effort. And every time I see some upset, it's because the team that's seeded so high that I believe took the other team lightly because they never put the effort defensively or offensively to the point of being able to win the game.
Well, Gene, I don't know about that, but I think what ultimately happens, I mean, you're facing teams that you're not familiar with. And you know, in Alabama's case Sunday night, I mean, you could not explain their free throw shooting. Why do you shoot so badly? I think it has to do with pressure. It's one thing to hit a free throw in the SEC basketball tournament. It's another thing in the NCAA tournament. But by no means would I call it a bust. I think that is an outrageously wrong take. I never thought Arkansas could get past Baylor. That was something that I felt early on. And yeah, LSU had some breaks along the way in terms of this, who they were playing, and And then I thought they played a fantastic game against Michigan and lost it. But Alabama was a disappointment on in terms of how they played against UCLA. But UCLA was clearly underrated. And I would say Tennessee was you know, Florida got past that first game and then you know, disintegrated. But you know, Tennessee was the biggest concern I would have. I agree with you on that. Hey, let's take a break. We have a lot to do, including a conversation with Sam Pittman. He is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome all of you back, and we are thrilled to welcome our friend Coach Sam Pittman back to our show from the University of Arkansas. Coach, great to have you here, and we appreciate you being here, and I think we're all interested in hearing how it's going, and I know you're excited to be back on the field.
Well, we are, Paul, and we've been through seven practices, and we're going to practice again tomorrow, and then we're going to have another scrimmage on Saturday, and then our spring game will be the 17th of April. But, you know, we have to find a quarterback. We believe in KJ Jefferson. Malik Hornsby's been there. We have to find a quarterback. We've got to find some D linemen. We think we have them there in younger. Obviously, we lost John Marshall, who was our arguably our best defensive player. And our secondary looks really good. Our linebackers, you know, of course, Morgan's back and Henry and Poole, that helps us. Have a lot of returning starters, have a lot of good battles going on. And we went in front of the public in a scrimmage last Saturday, or Saturday before last. So it's been going well, Paul.
For fans, we think we know how to identify a quarterback, but from a coaching standpoint, you with your coordinators and your assistants, what are you looking for right now in terms of trying to identify separation?
Well, right now we're looking for a guy just to run the offense, be able to have the right reads, understand where the reads are, understand the secondary pre-snap, things of that nature. We're looking for someone that builds confidence in our football team when he's behind the center. And then, in all honesty, I'm looking for a guy who can play and catch, you know, throw the ball and somebody can catch it. I mean, a lot of guys look good on air. A lot of guys look good in one-on-one non-team settings. But we're trying to find a guy that can go play well in a team setting. And to be honest with you, Paul, part of the reason that we've opened our scrimmages up because I want our quarterbacks to feel a little bit more pressure. I think they'll feel that a little bit more with fans in the stands. And that's why we're doing it, a big part of it. Otherwise, other reason is because we want, you know, the folks of our state to be able to see us play.
It's like that great story I heard once about the kicker coach. The head coach walked up to him, and the kicker said, hey, coach, I mean, with all due respect, you're making me nervous. And he said, well, there's going to be about 85,000 out there when we start. And I'm curious about that, coach, because is there much difference when you're having a normal practice and nobody's there versus some family members and friends?
I think it's always been that way, Paul. You know, some guys play better with people in the stands, and some guys play worse. And we have to find that out this spring. Obviously, a guy can have a good day or a bad day. KJ Jefferson at the quarterback spot has proven that he can play SEC football and play it well with his one start that he had against Missouri last year. So we know that, but we're trying to put them in as difficult situations as we can. We ran the ball well. Paul, our last scrimmage, didn't protect it quite as well, held the ball quite a bit, a little longer than what we'd like to. The defense won the third down situations handedly. So those are some things we have to continue to work on. But we have 20 starters coming back from last year's team, and we've got some really, really good battles going on right now.
In terms of the younger players, the incoming players, this is something that years ago you didn't see, or you saw in specific skill positions, but how many do you have on the practice field right now that signed a couple of months ago, and the importance of that? What is it?
Very important. I think a lot of it is just a learning curve of being a college student, and the pace is slowed down where, you know, when they get in here in the summer, it's class, it's workouts, it's all these things, it's learning the playbook. I think it slows down. I certainly think that helps. We have 13, which is the largest number I've been around, that came in January. And we're really pleased. You know, Paul, to be honest with you, we didn't know what most of them look like. We understood that this was their measurement, but sometimes it's not necessarily what you get whenever they get on campus. So we were very, very pleased with the way our kids look. They've been very, very disciplined here on our campus, and we've got some fine players in that group.
Coach, there's going to be a conversation soon, I hope, that the COVID year goes out the window. But, you know, everything that you were talking about a minute ago is a result of that. Recruiting has been different. Everything has been different. But as we turn the page out of this, we're hearing athletic directors talk about full stadiums. I know normalcy is an unusual word, but how close are you to normalcy, at least from a football standpoint?
I think we're close. You know, I do believe, Paul, that it's going to be another month. You know, the state of Arkansas has opened up with opportunities to get the COVID vaccination for our kids. We've had about 50 of them do that this week. We have some more slated to get it later on this week. You know, the more folks that get the vaccine, and that's up to them, you know, what they want to do. But the more folks that get it, obviously, the more normalcy we'll turn to. I do believe that by June, that it'll be pretty close to normal around here. Obviously, we're hoping that we'll have a chance to get recruits on campus, have camps. And I believe maybe June 1, we can get back to total close to what we're all used to and what we all love.
On that subject, and it's one we really don't talk about much, but I do think it's important, Coach. And you know, young people and certainly a lot of folks just don't particularly want to get this vaccine. And I don't think either one of us would want to dictate what someone should or shouldn't do. But how do you try to educate your players on the vaccine?
The SEC's done a nice job of handing out information. Dr. O'Neill, who works out at LSU, and she's in the infectious disease department, she was outstanding. We asked her to talk to our football team. Our team asked her about 12 questions. They'd really thought out the questions to ask her. And she is such a wonderful person and knowledgeable person. So the education there, I'm not for sure, Paul, that we don't need to educate, you know, our parents of our players as well on the vaccine. But it's been more of an education. I will say this, our coaching staff has all had the vaccination. So we're trying to lead by example as well. But I think it's still in education. And Dr. O'Neill helped us tremendously.
I think you told me you had had it one of the last times that we talked. And not to take you through the season again, but you know, for those out there who may be on the bubble, who pay a lot of attention to what someone in your position would say once you get through it, and there are some minor side effects, but what does it do to your peace of mind?
Everything, Paul. I mean, it's the number one thing I was concerned about is having COVID and giving it to somebody else. You know, that's not a gift you want to give. And you really don't know if you have it or not by the way you feel. And certainly every one of our kids that have tested positive, they'll go, well, I had no symptoms. And that, to me, that's the scariest part of it. So the relief of myself, my wife, Jamie, not being able to give the virus to somebody is, you know, my wife's went home to see her mother in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And before she couldn't do that because you really just don't know if you have it or not. So the relief of not being able to give the virus to somebody else is huge to me.
Hmm. You were excited about becoming a head coach a year and change ago, and now I don't think the template prepared all of us for the kind of conversations we're having. But, Coach, we always enjoy it. I know the spring game coming up in a few weeks. From here until the end of spring, which is 3 weeks away, what do you hope to accomplish other than the aforementioned quarterback situation and the defensive situation?
Paul, we've got to make sure that we can punt and kick under pressure. We like our linebacker group. We've got some battles going on in the secondary. We like our wideouts. We have some battles going on there. And, you know, obviously everybody wants to stay healthy. If we can get through healthy-wise. But we have really used these 15 days we're going to extend through the 15 days because we didn't have the chance last year. And we are going to move some people in different positions to see if it makes our team better. Those things we weren't really able to do last year because we couldn't practice. We need to come out of spring knowing this is our guy at this spot, and we have 8 more opportunities to find that out.
Always great to have you here, Coach. Thank you. Stay well. The best to everyone, and we will hope to see you one of these days very soon as well. Come back soon.
You too, my friend. Thank you very much.
You got it. Always enjoyable. What a great man and a coach who had just such a fantastic year in terms of moving that program forward. I know the record may not indicate it to some of you, but to those who experienced Arkansas Razorback football last year, it came a very long way. We will take a break. More to come in just a moment. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. It's been a fun show already with Coach Pittman, the AD at Vanderbilt, a little bit later on. Gene Shizik as well. Let's get back to the calls. And Guy is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Guy. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. It's an honor. I just wanted to tell you a quick story about my kid 2 years ago, a freshman at Auburn. And he's in the engineering department. And I told him, I said, David, one of the dangers of being in engineering and all your friends is you might miss some of the greater experiences of college. So do things that'll take you out of your wheelhouse a little bit. So he said, Dad, what can we do? And he was all excited. And I said, well, go to sporting events or try dance classes or whatever. So the very next week, you guys were there with the SEC game of the week. He gets a white piece of poster board, draws a caricature of you on it. They're in the front row, been waiting for hours, and he yells your name, and you went over to him, talked to him for a while, took a picture with him, and autographed his poster, and he never forgot that. It was one of the greatest days of his freshman year at Auburn, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Wow, Guy, I I can't tell you how much that means to me that you would share that. You know, I don't know how to, you know, to put something like that into perspective, but, you know, I think anyone, you know, whether I'm involved or not is irrelevant, but I think we could all learn from that, from what you shared with us, because too often people are moving at such a fast pace, you don't realize what's around you. And I would have never thought that because to me, it's just something that I enjoy doing, meeting people, especially on college campuses. That's probably my favorite place.
Yeah, he loved it. And, you know, that thing's framed and put up in his room at Auburn to this day. And it's
how's he doing down there?
Listen, Paul, he loves it. He is War Eagle all the way. In fact, his younger sister just got accepted, and she's going to be joining him.
Oh my!
On campus this fall. So yeah.
Where do you guys live in Tennessee?
So I am actually in Pulaski, Tennessee, but the kids and their mom are from Florence, Alabama. And years ago, I stumbled upon your radio show, and believe it or not, it was. I'd never heard of you before, but was the day the lady, I think she's passed on now, but she used to call all the time.
Oh, Tammy.
She was a regular. She was a big Auburn fan.
Oh, yeah, Tammy.
And there was this other guy who, after hearing him, I found out months and months later that it was Harvey Updike.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was my very first introduction to you and your radio show, and I almost couldn't believe it, but I started following you ever since then. But they're from North Alabama.
Well, Guy, do me a favor. I don't know. I'll hopefully be down there this fall. And assuming that we get down there, make sure that we can set up a conversation. I'd love to sit down with them, have a cup of coffee, lunch, or whatever. I would really, really love to meet them again.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd look forward to that.
You count on it. We'll do it. Thank you, Guy. Thanks for sharing that.
Right.
You bet.
Yeah, you bet.
What a fantastic story. By the way, I failed to mention this, but... Chad Morris, who preceded Coach Pittman who we had on a minute ago, was named today as the new head coach at Allen High School in Texas. He had been the Arkansas head coach after coming there from SMU. He was at Auburn last year as the offensive coordinator. We will take a break. More to come.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.